This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday to you. I told you by the end of the week I would have a Super Bowl prediction because I have been kind of wishy-washy. My apologies, but I have gone back and forth. I have liked Cincinnati some days. I have liked the Rams others. I've more liked the Rams this week than I've liked Cincinnati, but I have gone back and forth. I'll give you my final analysis as we continue through the show today. A lot on the Super Bowl, of course, as this weekend is going to wrap up the NFL season. Last night, Aaron Rodgers took home the MVP award for the fourth time in his career. You had Cooper Kupp win the Offensive Player of the Year, T.J. Watt of the Steelers win the Defensive Player of the Year. So the NFL, again, going into its big weekend, but that's not to say that the other sports are kind of chiming in as best they possibly can. The blockbuster trade in the NBA, we all were wondering would happen, and again, got conflicting reports as to whether or not it would. Actually did take place. James Harden is going to Philadelphia. Ben Simmons is going to Brooklyn. There's some other parts in between. Paul Millsaps is heading to Philadelphia. Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, a draft pick, are going to Brooklyn. So this was a story that got a lot of momentum, and it got a lot of momentum for two reasons. One, because it was a blockbuster deal that was in the works, reportedly, by Brian Windhorst. And it would really shape the Eastern Conference, and it would take these two teams and make each team would be better off with this trade. But then Adrian Wojnarowski said that this deal wasn't happening and then changed his tune before the deadline and said, well, actually, it is kind of in the works. So it is done, and it is a big deal. And we're going to go over it because Daryl Morey hung on to Ben Simmons for as long as he possibly could and ended up getting James Harden out of the deal. But the Brooklyn Nets, who gave up everything to get James Harden a year ago, a little over a year ago, ended up with 16 games where Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant were on the court at the same time. That's it. And they gave up a load to get James Harden, and it did not work out. They were out of the playoffs in round number two. Injuries were just piling up. Kyrie not vaccinated, preventing him from playing at home. It's just the big three that never was. So how does this trade work out now? We'll give you thoughts on that as we continue on Twitter at Tony D Radio. If you want to hit us up on there as we continue, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. Happy Friday to you. Happy eve of Super Bowl weekend. And again, we'll continue our thoughts on the game today. Josh Alper is going to join us coming up on the show this morning from Pro Football Talk. Give his thoughts on what Cincinnati's got to do, what the LA has to do. But yesterday the big news was the blockbuster trade as the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers actually did trade their players. James Harden going to the Sixers, Ben Simmons to Brooklyn. And again, Paul Millsaps is involved. Andre Drummond is involved. Seth Curry is involved. There's a draft pick too. But in the end, it comes down to this. I got to give Daryl Morey some credit here. When Ben Simmons wanted out of Philadelphia, Daryl Morey hung on to him when people were like, no, you got to get rid of him, and you should get rid of him for pennies on the dollar. And Daryl Morey didn't do that. And there was like a little bit of bitterness, and there was a little bit of angst. You know, there was a belief that he was going to make Ben Simmons suffer. Like, you'll never play for us, but we're not going to get rid of you, and we're not going to trade you because you want to get traded. But Morey held out and held out for the big fish, which was James Harden. Now, in the end, Ben Simmons got exactly what he wanted out of this deal. Ben Simmons wanted out of Philadelphia, and he could have been sent to anywhere. He could have been sent to a whole bunch of teams, teams that weren't contending, teams in not big markets, whatever. But he gets to go to Brooklyn, and he gets to play with Kevin Durant. And regardless of the fact that they don't have a big three anymore, more like a two and a half, depending on what Simmons' production is. And don't get me wrong, he's a very, very good defender. He just doesn't want to put the ball in the basket at any point. So that's kind of an issue. But he's a good defender. This is a team that is going to revolve, of course, around Kevin Durant. It's not going to revolve around Simmons. So Simmons gets to play on a team where he doesn't really have to do what he doesn't want to do, because Kevin Durant is going to do all those things. And on the road, Kyrie Irving is going to do all those things. And if we ever get this vaccination thing figured out, and Kyrie can play all the games all the time, and I think we should be getting closer to that, then Brooklyn becomes a contending basketball team. They become a team that could win a championship. So Simmons is put on a team, again, that could win a championship. And James Harden gets what he wants too, even if it was the second time in about a year and a half that he got traded. Second time in 13 months that he's been traded. He didn't want to be in Brooklyn, and now he gets to be in Philadelphia. He didn't want to be in Houston, and he got sent to Brooklyn. Like, whenever James Harden doesn't want to do anything, they just send him where he wants to go, and then he just goes, I don't want to be here either. And he gets to team up with Joel Embiid. So Philadelphia wins in this trade, and Brooklyn wins in this trade, because they get rid of a player that didn't want to be there, and they get a player that they don't necessarily need him for what was bothering Philadelphia. So I got to give, again, credit to Daryl Morey here, Philadelphia general manager, former Houston general manager, who gets to be reunited with James Harden, but he didn't panic when it was all falling apart with Ben Simmons. He said, fine, you're not playing, but we will wait and see. He was patient enough, and that patience paid off, because he's got James Harden now. But if you're Brooklyn, this is where I go, while it seems like a win for Brooklyn, in the end, if you look at the larger picture, it really isn't. Because when Brooklyn wanted James Harden, they gave up so much for him. And in the end, what did they get? Nothing. They got nothing. They got a big three that were never together on the court, just besieged with injuries. And again, this COVID problem with this vaccination problem for Kyrie. 16 games total. They lost to Milwaukee in the playoffs. I mean, again, it was, you know, Kevin Durant's little, you know, big toe, I think, was right on that right there. But in the end, they did lose to Milwaukee in the playoffs in the second round. Harden was hurt, dealing with injuries. They never became the force people thought they were going to become 13 months ago when James Harden landed in Brooklyn. Now, Ben Simmons, again, there's obviously Philadelphia, you know, he had issues. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. You know, the layup he didn't want to take in the playoffs against Atlanta. But he can be asked now to be a strong defender. He can guard the wing. He can guard the big man. He's a good defensive player. And maybe this is what Brooklyn will need, instead of a player like Harden, who's like, I don't want to be here, and I'm going to show you that I don't want to be here. But I think the winner in this trade, if you're going to eke it out, is Philadelphia. They now get a 32-year-old James Harden, who, again, got a lot of mileage on those tires, don't get me wrong, but he can create for Embiid. This is a kind of player Embiid has never had. And Embiid is playing at an MVP level. And if Harden is happy and Philadelphia, and it works, they become the favorites in the Eastern Conference. So, again, a win-win, but more like three-quarters of a win slash win. I mean, Brooklyn just gave up too much for nothing, and in the end don't have a big three anymore, but they got a 2.5. Yeah, Ben Simmons is not James Harden, but he's not nothing either. He's not nobody either. So I give my hats off to Daryl Morey again. This was a great way to be patient with a player, a disgruntled player, that you're just not shipping off for a big, huge package you can't use. And Brooklyn, by the way, Andre Drummond is averaging about 9 rebounds a game. Seth Curry can hit from the outside. These are good positional players for Brooklyn to add to their team. I know a lot of course, the focus is going to be on Harden, Simmons, of course. But there's some things, and they got a first round draft pick out of the deal as well. I mean, it's not like the 6 they gave up in the James Harden trade, but nevertheless, Brooklyn did get some assets here. And so right now, if you look at the Eastern Conference, this is problematic for a lot of the other teams, because Philadelphia just got a lot better. And Brooklyn maybe can figure out a way to overcome some of their issues to get back into this thing. Right now, Brooklyn has lost 10 in a row. But as we know, get to the postseason and let's see what happens. Get into those seven-game series and see what happens. Just find a way to do it, right? And Brooklyn's struggling right now. Obviously, the Harden trade is done now, so he wasn't playing. Kyrie wasn't playing when they were on the road. Kevin Durant's been out. There's a lot of problems. But once you get Durant back and healthy, once Kyrie is you know, he's playing on the road, he's not going to get vaccinated, so he's not going to play at home, and Ben Simmons is incorporated into this, when we get to March, late March, early April, let's see where Brooklyn is at that point. Right now, they're just hanging on because they got nobody. They got nothing. Like I said, Durant's out, Kyrie doesn't play at home, and now Durant Harden is gone, and we'll see how Simmons plugs in. But if it comes together in the next month and a half, then the Eastern Conference is going to be in trouble because both of these teams are going to be pretty good, especially Philadelphia, because now it's win a championship or nothing. Now they've got that on them. This should be a championship-level team. And I'm actually kind of glad it happened. I know we get a little kind of upset with players who get disgruntled, but I'm going to let you know something. In the NBA, when a player wants out, they get out. That's just the way it is. There is so much power that the players have in the NBA. If a disgruntled player wants to be traded, they end up getting traded because they're too valuable of an asset. Their money, their cap money is too important for them to just sit and do nothing. Teams don't want to punish players. They're not going to, you know, Daryl Morey and the Sixers weren't going to just keep sending him paychecks to Ben Simmons and not play him and make him suffer. They weren't going to do that. They were going to let him go. Eventually, they were going to need to, and they did. That's what happens. The other, you know, look at the NFL, for example. Players have virtually no wiggle room whatsoever. But in the NBA, the power is in the players, and if they want out, they'll be gone. They'll be traded. And think about if you're Ben Simmons. You whined and cried and didn't show up and was a distraction during camp and all of that stuff. And look what you end up with. Look where you end up. You're going to a place where Kevin Durant is on that team when healthy. He's out now when he's healthy. And you're on a team that should contend. And if you're James Harden and you're ticked off in Houston, you get traded to Brooklyn, paired up with two superstars. And when that doesn't work out, 13 months later, you get sent to Philadelphia and team up with another superstar. It's the way this league is. That's the way this league is. All right, coming up, Aaron Rodgers won the MVP award last night, said a lot of good things about Matt LaFleur. Does that mean he's going to stay in Green Bay? We'll talk about that next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio or 800-224-2004, 800-224-2004. You want to comment on the blockbuster trade or your thoughts on Super Bowl 56? Sean, have you come up with a, you've been here all week filling in for Ron, who's out in Los Angeles. Have you come up with a, I've got this down, definitive who's going to win Super Bowl 56 yet? Or are you like me, still tossing and turning about it?
I'm not like definitive. Like I'm not like take it to the bank. But I think I'm leaning Rams.
I am too. I'm leaning Rams too. I think this is such a magical ride for Cincinnati. But in the end, I just can't get over how bad that offensive line is for Cincinnati. I just can't. It's atrocious. And I just think Aaron Donald and Von Miller are going to kill it. I don't think Joe Mixon's going to be able to run the ball very well. That's fine. And I don't think Joe Burrow is going to be able to escape as easily as he did against Kansas City. I think it's going to be more like Tennessee, where he's going to go down a lot. But in this case, I don't think the Rams make the mistakes like the Titans did. But I'm leaning towards Rams, too. But, well, you know, it's hard. We said it all week. I don't mean to be like, oh, well, I like both. I'm not trying to be that guy. But the Joe Burrow factor is important. You know, it's like, you can find all of these reasons to like the Rams. And on the one hand, it's very much like Brady was the same way. I mean, I'm not trying to compare the two quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. But Brady was the same way. Sometimes you'd be like, I think this matchup actually fits whoever the Patriots would play in the Super Bowl. But you go, but yeah, but Brady is kind of on the other side. You never know. Even with last year was the same way. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City. And then the Buccaneers had this run through the playoffs where they were winning their road games. And they were a wild card team. And you'd go, ah, yeah, but, you know, you never know with Brady. He can do these magical things. Burrow can overcome a lot of deficiencies that Bengals team has, and he's shown that he can do that. So, but yesterday was the awards for the NFL, and Aaron Rodgers won the MVP. Not a big surprise. Most people had him winning the MVP. And because they don't vote after the playoffs or after the Super Bowl, and it's a regular season award, he wasn't punished, quote-unquote, for losing that playoff game. Nevertheless, Aaron Rodgers afterwards said, you know, gave all the thanks to Matt LaFleur, said, I love you, kind of made a joke about it on the eyebrows, et cetera, et cetera. But, again, speculation is still going about Aaron Rodgers, who said he's not going to, you know, drag this thing out, and he's going to figure it out pretty quickly. And that's a good thing to say. I mean, this is a lot better than what we had last offseason, where that soap opera lasted, I think, way, way, way too long. Again, if you are a team in need of a quarterback right now and Aaron Rodgers could be available, I think every fan base that is kind of dying for a QB has sort of gone into the speculative route of whether or not Aaron Rodgers will come to them. As a Steeler fan, I've seen it way too many times, people trying to make the Mike Tomlin-Aaron Rodgers connection. Those two respect each other a lot. The Denver Broncos have been right there at the forefront of A, needing a quarterback, B, Nathaniel Hackett has been hired to be the head coach. The Broncos made that head coaching decision because of Aaron Rodgers. They were working on a deal on draft day. All of the Broncos have been heavily connected with Aaron Rodgers. Another team that popped up but kind of easily dismissed, but it still popped up for a while, and boy, the speculation was really running crazy, was here in Nashville where I live with the Tennessee Titans, because Aaron Rodgers bought a piece of property in Nashville. Bought a house and some land. Now, I'll tell you right now, this town has a lot of celebrities that make their home here. It's not just country music stars. The state, it's a nice place to live. It's a great up-and-coming city. It's a lot of fun. Great food. The music is great. And it's a place where celebrities can come and not be bothered. I mean, you can see country music stars everywhere, and nobody crowds them and rushes them. It's kind of like Los Angeles in a way in that regard. So some people said, well, a lot of celebrities have moved here, but have any football players that maybe on the move have ever moved here? That was the big story, right? But the Titans kind of dismiss that. Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback. He's their guy. Rodgers is not going to be playing for the Tennessee Titans anytime soon. It leaves the Broncos, though, with the best option. If Aaron Rodgers wants to leave, it's very likely. If Aaron Rodgers is not playing in a Packers uniform next year, and you were kind of asleep, and you woke up, and you said, well, Rodgers is not a Packer, where do you think he'll land? The leader in the clubhouse is Denver. I mean, there's no question about it. They've got the pieces in place. They've got a stellar defense. They've got the offensive coordinator for the Packers as their new head coach. They absolutely need a quarterback. They do not have a quarterback that they're like, ugh, well, we signed him to a big contract. They've been playing quarterback roulette for a long time there, whether it's Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, Trevor Siemian, Teddy Bridgewater. Ever since Peyton Manning retired, it has been one after another. That is Paxton Lynch. Remember, they drafted him in the first round out of Memphis? The names are just long. None of them have worked out. None of them have stuck. And so the Broncos would love to bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers to pair him up with that exceptional defense. But as I have said throughout this Rodgers ordeal, I think that if you're Aaron Rodgers, you got to ask yourself what you want. And if you know that if the number one thing you want, if he sat down with his agent and his agent said, you know what, get a piece of paper, write down three things you want out of the next couple of years. If the number one answer on that list is to win a Super Bowl, then you have to stay with the Green Bay Packers. It is easier to get to the Super Bowl through the NFC than it will be through the AFC. If I'm a 38-year-old quarterback, I can believe in myself all I want. I can have the confidence of a Greek god, but I would not want to go through the AFC and the teams that are emerging through that conference. I would have no interest in that landmine. I would rather stay in the NFC, where it is starting to shape up a little better and more favorable to me. The Packers should have gone to the Super Bowl this year. They were way better than the team. I mean, maybe the Rams. I think the Rams could have given them a hard time at Lambeau Field, but they should have never lost that game to San Francisco. Never. That's inexcusable. for San Francisco's offense to not score a touchdown, and for your special teams to be that terrible, and for Aaron Rodgers to have one touchdown in the game, and that's it, is inexcusable. But they still, if they can keep some of their players, they still have a great chance of being great again and making another run. But they got to work out a lot of issues. And I know Rodgers is going to watch to see how that plays out. Can they sign the key guys in it? How are they going to work the cap? All of those things are on the table. But again, even if they have to sacrifice a few guys that they can't bring back, he is still better off going into Green Bay and staying with the Packers en route to try to win a Super Bowl than navigating a very tough division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and, of course, the Raiders, who went to the playoffs this past season, and, of course, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Josh Allen in Buffalo, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and anybody else in the AFC that decided to play in this party. I would much rather go to the NFC, where Tom Brady is now out of the conference. Sean Payton isn't kicking around down in New Orleans. Dallas is always overrated, it feels. The Rams are good, but remember, their window is closing. And you're the Packers, and what do you have in your own division? A Lions team that is still rebuilding, a Bears team that's going to have a new head coach, and a Vikings team that is a complete disaster, and they have a new head coach. Right? What would you rather do if you're Aaron Rodgers at 38, if your top priority is to win a Super Bowl? Navigate through Mahomes, Herbert, Carr, Josh McDaniels, Andy Reid in that division? Or two teams that are kind of a disaster right now and one that's admittedly rebuilding? Remember, to get to the Super Bowl, you have to make the playoffs. In order to make the playoffs, you have to win the division or be a wild card team. All right? It's easy to do that in the NFC than it is going to be in the AFC. Because in the AFC, they can be a good football team, the Broncos, and not win that division and be a wild card team and have to go on the road to Buffalo, go on the road to Kansas City, go on the road to play Baltimore, go on the road to play Tennessee, right? I mean, Indianapolis, if Indianapolis can get to the postseason. There's a lot of landmines in the AFC. I would rather go to the NFC. So I know Rodgers is going to think about it. I know he's going to be processing that as best he can. And he'll watch the Packers and watch to see how the Packers are going to do. But remember this. I always felt that, one, the hoopla surrounding Aaron Rodgers getting traded last year was garbage. I thought it was irresponsible of people on Twitter to point out it was happening when there was no reason for it to happen at all. The Packers were under no obligation to get rid of him. They could have told him to pound sand and come play football or don't play football at all. And instead, Rodgers did go back to play football, and they were the number one seed in the NFC. But I also felt, and I think this was confirmed in a couple of interviews that we had to people in Green Bay with the two people that we normally talk to about the Packers, which was that I think Aaron Rodgers always wanted a better relationship with the Packers and sort of stood back and sort of forced the hand to create it, right? It's like being in a relationship. It's like if you and your wife or you and your husband are having problems, you don't want a divorce. You just want a better marriage. And I think Aaron Rodgers wanted, I don't think he wanted a divorce. He just wanted a better relationship. Be a little bit more honest with me when you're drafting my successor. Be a little bit more honest with me on how we're managing the cap and some of the players that we need to let go. Let's have a conversation. Have me part of this process. And I think it was a wake-up call to the Packers. And I think there's going to be a better relationship. Maybe he doesn't get along with Brian Gutekunst all the time. Maybe that's the case and it never happens. But at least there's a better working relationship than there was this offseason. And I think that's the reason why I think Aaron Rodgers is better off staying in Green Bay. I know it is fun. Here in Tennessee, it was like a two-day story. He bought a house. Could he be playing here? Why would you buy a house here if you're not going to play here? Denver has been on the Aaron Rodgers train for a year, right? They've been loving this idea that they could land him, and more evidence that they could possibly land him. And I wouldn't, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays for the Broncos. And I'm not saying that that's not going to happen, but I am saying if you want to go to the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers, your best bet is staying at Lambeau Field and stay in the NFC. It's Tony D. It's Wake Up Call. It is Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Super Bowl 56 again coming up this weekend. I'm so excited. I love Super Bowl weekend. You know, Sean, I've said this many times, but I think I've never said this to you. You know why I like the Super Bowl so much? Because everything that is big is compared to the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl is never compared to anything else that's big. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you an example. So my sister she loves the Oscars. She loves the Oscars. I don't think anybody's watching the Academy Awards anymore, but my sister is. She loves it. She does those polls. She's always commenting on who is going to win Best Documentary Short. She's seen all the movies. She's kind of in SAG. I think she's in SAG, so she gets all the screeners for these movies. So she lives in Los Angeles. She's involved in the movie industry. Just loves the Academy Awards. But every year she says, it's my Super Bowl. And I go, my Super Bowl isn't the Academy Awards. Like, I never say, it's Cincinnati versus the Rams. This is my Oscar night. I just go, it's the Super Bowl, and that's the only thing I have to say. So whenever you have a big thing, people go, this is the Super Bowl of auto racing. This is the Super Bowl of comic conventions. This is the Super Bowl of landscaping. Whatever it is, people will use the Super Bowl to compare it to say, this is bigger than anything else. This is the thing. If you love this boat show, this is the Super Bowl of boat shows. If you love conventions for television, this is the Super Bowl of that. But the Super Bowl never is anything else but the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl isn't, you don't have to add a modifier to describe how big the Super Bowl is. The Super Bowl is just it. When you say it, it's big. Everyone knows it. That's why I love it. It's the whole weekend. And I love it because here's the other thing. People who don't follow 1 second of football get involved in it. They still go to parties. They still show up at their friend's house. They may go, I don't even know who's playing. I'm here to see the halftime show. I'm just here for the snacks and the camaraderie. Or best yet, the number one thing, I'm here for the commercials. It doesn't matter. We welcome you in. You don't care that Joe Burrow and Matt Stafford are two former number one picks going head-to-head, former SEC guys. Nope, don't care. You don't care that Cooper Kupp is the offensive MVP leading the NFL in receiving yards and Ja'Marr Chase is on the other side, the rookie leader in receiving yards in his first year out of LSU? Nope, don't care. Just give me the latest Pepsi ad. Let me know what's the funniest commercial. Let me know how the halftime show goes with Dr. Dre and Eminem and Mary J. Blige. Like that, it's okay. And I got to think that most people who watch the Academy Awards are just they're interested in the Academy Awards. Is there anybody watching the Academy Awards because they want to see fashion and that's it? Maybe. But I think if you watch the Academy Awards, you're like, yeah, well, I'm interested in movies. But you don't even have to be interested in football to watch a Super Bowl. That's why I like it coming up this weekend. I did think the Rams, as Sean and I were talking about earlier, I like the Rams in this game. I'm staying with them. I'm gonna keep convincing myself throughout the show today that the Rams are going to win this game. But I like the Bengals. I just think they've got a level of moxie with them that is intoxicating. I think their quarterback, if he hasn't already become a face of the league personality, he's going to be soon. If this Super Bowl doesn't do it, it's coming eventually. I think he just has this X factor about him that is, like, from a confidence standpoint to an ability standpoint, it is amazing how his life and the trajectory of his life has only been within this sort of 3-year window from 2019 through now, where he has been an undefeated college football team, national championship college football team, Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick, second year in the league, Super Bowl, AFC champion. Like, all of those things coming within a short period of time and him acting as if he has not been surprised by any of this at all. He is not going, oh, my God, where am I? How did this happen? I can't believe my luck. He did say something interesting, though. He did say that if he had stayed at Ohio State and toughed it out and tried to battle for the starting job, that he would be working in an office somewhere. And he would be right. He would be right. Again, do not get on this state of college athletics the way it is right now. Avoid the urge to sort of fall into to cliched traps where, you know, players who want to leave for better opportunities are hurting themselves when the competition could be good for them. Sometimes you got to look at the landscape and fight your battles in another way. Sometimes working for a certain company is not going to lead you to the top, but working for another company will. If you work for a mom and pop company and the son is in the system or the daughter is in the system, you are unlikely to be president of that company. But you may have to go to another company where that opportunity presents itself with an easier path. It doesn't mean you're going to stay and compete against the son whose father is going to pass it down and maybe you show you're better. No, you look at the landscape. I want to be a president of this company. I'm not going to be here, but I can be there. Burrow looked at the landscape at Ohio State, saw Dwayne Haskins and said, I don't know if I'm going to get a fair shot here. I don't know if I'm going to play here. He's a very talented player. I have to go somewhere else. And I need to go somewhere else that needs a quarterback. But here's the other thing. I need to go to someplace that's sort of built for me to really shine and excel. And he found it in Ed Orgeron in LSU. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I would encourage that to everybody. Spencer Rattler saw that, right? Spencer Rattler saw that Caleb Williams was going to take over at Oklahoma, started planning his exit out of the Sooners. Caleb Williams saw that, where he saw Brent Venables and said, I don't think so. And now he's following Lincoln Riley. Why? Because if the end goal is to get to the NFL, you've got to do everything you possibly can to try to get in front of those NFL executives and showcase your talent. And the best way to do that is to be really good at college football. Like, really good at college football. And that's what Joe Burrow did. He went to LSU and instantly became a household name in the college football world. As they were winning games and he was throwing the ball and scoring and with touchdowns and racking up yardage, showcasing a side of LSU we don't normally see from the Tigers with this dynamic passing game. Becoming a Heisman Trophy winner, becoming a national champion, the number one overall pick, and now on the verge of becoming the face of the NFL. Amongst a lot of young faces in this league already. But that's what the Super Bowl can do for you. I never want to see the Super Bowl ever lose the two-week gap. We can suffer through the Pro Bowl together. We can suffer through a weekend without it to build up to this game. I think the 2 weeks is very important for the Super Bowl. One, it allows teams to sort of get a reset button a little bit, the two teams that are competing in it. Yeah, I know the last two have been one of the teams was playing in their home stadium, but of course we know that's not always the case. This has only been twice in 56 Super Bowls. But the teams need a chance to go back after the AFC and NFC conference games, reset, get everything in order. You're going to have a lot of family, a lot of friends. They're going to be pulling at you. You're going to be tugging at you. You're going to have to deal with certain things. And then it is getting to the game and being part of the celebratory nature of the sport, being part of the media day event, working out, doing all of the things that you want to do to promote the Super Bowl, everything the teams will be doing. And it takes a while to sort of get into that mode. But I also think it's important for the league because these are two teams that are now on the ultimate pedestal. And when they're on the ultimate pedestal, you don't want to be a quick one and done. Give it time for America to really get to know these teams. Give it time for America to really know these players. Right? Again, you are inviting a lot more people into the swimming pool and into the party than you've done before. This is the game that's going to have 150 million people watching when the AFC and the NFC championship games are about 50 to 60 million people. You're going to have a lot more people. So in the 2 weeks living up to the hype, you can really, really set apart these athletes. And Joe Burrow is the beneficiary of that. Yeah, of course, Matt Stafford, there's going to be a lot of conversation about how his life has changed since being in Los Angeles and being on a winning team and this Super Bowl run and living up to some of the promise that he had coming out of Georgia. But I think for the most part, America is going to see Joe Burrow and this kid who has been in the sports spotlight for the last couple of years. But this is bigger than anything he's ever been part of. Right? I The NFL and the Super Bowl has yet to be beaten by any sporting event that we have. Anything. And it will always be that way for at least the rest of my lifetime. I can't imagine any other thing, single thing, that is going to be on the level of what the Super Bowl attracts in terms of audience and attention. College is just too regional, right? The national championship game this year featured two teams from the SEC. Outside of a natural curiosity to maybe, I don't know, see the game, it leaves a lot of the region out of it. The NFL, because of fantasy football, because of the Sunday ticket for people with DirecTV, Red Zone Channel, we're interested in all the teams, including our favorites. So when we see the Rams and the Bengals, it's not like we haven't seen them this year. It's not in Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. It's not like we haven't seen them or we don't know anything about it. You can live in Washington State and not know anything that's going on in the SEC and it would be okay. You can live in Michigan and not know anything that's going on in the Pac-12 and it'd be fine. You're very regional. But in the NFL, it's not. You can love the Steelers or the Titans or the Patriots or the Dolphins, but you care about everybody else. You care about all the teams. You'll watch two teams that you're not fans of just because it's a good game. You'll watch Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, because it's two NFL teams. Whereas college football doesn't generate that at all on their Thursday night, you know, or Wednesday night action or anything like that. Nothing even close. We love the National Football League. Look, yesterday was the anniversary of the AAFL in 2019. We don't even want those anymore. We don't want that league. We don't want the XFL. We don't want the new USFL. We don't want any of those new pro leagues. We only like the NFL. And the NFL knows it. That's why they print money. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, if you'd like to call the show and talk about either the Harden and Simmons trade, Super Bowl coming up, Aaron Rodgers and his place next season, 800-224-2004. Tony D, Ron Culver's still out in Los Angeles wrapping up Radio Week for Super Bowl 56 at SportsMap Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. Oh, goodness. I am so excited for the Super Bowl. Is it me or is it like it's hard to pay attention to anything else that goes on during the weekend? Like they try to give you a basketball game before the Super Bowl. Like Illinois is playing Northwestern. Like it's like I can't. But here's the thing. I don't watch a lot of Super Bowl pregame show. Do you?
Not really.
I don't either. I don't either.
Because we just had 2 weeks of pregame show.
Like, I think people in our business, I find this more and more, like I know everybody that I know that's in this business, writers, broadcasters, whatnot. I don't think we watch a lot of a pregame show. I think we've had it all for 2 weeks. I don't think we need any more breakdown analysis. We've been seeing it all week, preparing for shows or preparing for columns or TV hits or whatever. I don't think it's necessary. But I also think there's too much fluff for the Super Bowl broadcast. I know they're filling it with advertisers and whatnot. And don't get me wrong, it's, you know, I would too if I was a network executive and I had the Super Bowl, it would be the thing I have on all day. I'm not that interested in a 5-minute piece on Aaron Donald's rise to fame. Like, I'm just not into that. Like, that's not my thing. I don't want to see, like, hey, coming up. Last year, he thought his life was over. He was being cut by whatever, but he found a new life on the Cincinnati secondary. We're going to talk to, I'm just not all that interested in those kind of stories. I probably either read them already or I kind of know about them already. To me, get me to a round kickoff, a little before that, and then I'm in. Like, I'll show up to a party, have fun, talk to the people, and then when the national anthem is about ready to be played, then I'll sit down and get ready to watch. I have to do this thing where my wife says this. She'll say, like, all right, we got invited to Tim and Donna's Super Bowl party. Do you want to go? And I go, yeah, why not? She goes, well, I know you have to you have to watch it and whatnot. I go, haven't you learned already? This is my routine. I watch the Super Bowl, but I tape it at home. And then when I get home, I rewatch it and I fast forward through all the junk just to make sure I have a good time at a Super Bowl party. I cheer and chat and watch the commercials and laugh and all that other stuff. But when I get home and I know I have a show the next day, I rewatch it. It takes me about an hour because I fast forward through everything. And then I just double check and I'll go over the play-by-play charts and the drive charts and the statistics. And I put my notes together. And she's like, oh, okay. I go, yeah, we do this every year. Every year you ask if it's okay we go to a party. And every year I say, yeah, sure. So, but as I was telling you, Sean, I can remember where I've been for every Super Bowl since I was like 7 or 8. Like I remember doing a Super Bowl show at the Barbary Coast in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl 33 between the Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons. I remember being at my wife's friend's Dory's house for the previous Super Bowl in Dallas because we were on our way to Las Vegas where we were moving. And we stopped off there on Super Bowl Sunday to watch John Elway beat the Green Bay Packers. I was sick as a dog. One of the worst illnesses I've had in a while, lasted for like 3 or 4 days. I was sick as a dog for Super Bowl 31 between Green Bay and New England. I was downstairs in my parents' house vomiting and sweating bullets, but I was watching the Super Bowl. I was really sick. And I remember watching the Steelers and the Cowboys at this bar in Manchester, New Hampshire, flipping out because Larry Brown was catching interceptions. It's Tony D, Ron Culver out in L.A. His wake-up call continues.